Today we have both an Old and New Testament scripture lesson, and the old one's very brief. It's from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Hear now God's word for us this morning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Our New Testament lesson is from the book of Acts. Now, as most of you know, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and they are the Gospels. But then right away comes Acts. And Acts is the book about the church getting started, starting with Pentecost, the very birth of the church. And it's all about courageous disciples who went on mission, went on a big mission, and that mission was Jesus Christ to start the church. So this story comes in part of that grand mission. I want you also to think about this. The original disciples were all devout Jews. And if they were going out, that meant they encountered people who weren't Jewish. So think about this. You will hear something in this story. Remember, devout Jews would not associate with sausage makers or tanners or butchers. So hear for yourself if they are going way out of their comfort zone to spread the good news of Jesus. Acts 9, verses 36 through 43. Now in Joppa, which is modern-day Jaffa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, Tabitha became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. And since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood behind him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Tabitha had made while she was with them. So Peter put them all outside, and he knelt down and he prayed. And then he turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then, calling all the saints and the widows, he showed Tabitha to be alive. Now, this became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your presence. Speak to us your word for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you know that there's a sewing hall of fame? Oh, yeah. Learn something new every day here. The very first inductee, Nancy Zeman, urged her followers to sew something every year for someone you will never know. And the most recent inductee, Janet Prey, continues that theme. Her motto is, "The meaning of life is to find your gift, and the purpose of life is to give it away." Wow, that sounds like a great hall of fame where it's more about service to others than individual accomplishment. Too bad the Sewing Hall of Fame only started in this century, because if it was a little older, like by a couple thousand years, I'm sure Tabitha, or in Greek, Dorcas, but Tabitha would be one of the star inductees. At the end of June, Eric asked me to pick a scripture passage for today that has to do with mission. And when I told him I picked this story from Acts, he looked at me like, What? I would never pick that. Are you crazy? And folks, all I can say is, let's make him kiss that pig. Kiss that pig. Let's raise some money. It's a good cause. Well, Of course, I picked this one because Tabitha sews. And I sew too, though not nearly as well or as prolifically as Tabitha or Nancy or Janet. But not only does Tabitha sew, but also this is the only time in the Bible where the feminine conjugation of the word disciple is used. Only time. That means she was one of the early lead disciples. Before the church really got going, Tabitha was the foremost, was a lead disciple. Now, that doesn't mean Tabitha was the only female disciple, for like our modern day word disciples, the plural is not gender specific. Still, I think it's really cool she got her own conjugation. So when Eric asked me to choose a passage that has to do with mission, I jumped at this one. And did I mention this took place at the end of June? It was just before John Schwartz went into the hospital with an infection. An infection I thought antibiotics would quickly cure. As the days passed, however, John's cure grew more elusive. Every time I visited him, I noticed he was getting a little worse. So as the days passed, therefore, this beloved passage ate at me, just gnawed at me. In fact, I grew increasingly angry with this simple, happily ever after Bible story. Tabitha was easily and miraculously cured. John wasn't. And that's with modern day medicine. Peter prayed at Tabitha's bedside and she sprang back to life. I prayed at John's bedside and he got worse. What's wrong with me? Why do some disciples have a happily ever after ending while others don't? And does being a disciple even matter? Have you ever had questions like that? Well, I can't begin to answer the question of what's wrong with me, because if I did, we'd be here all day. I'm getting hungry, so we can't do that. But I can tell you that questions are good. Faith without questions is dried up dogmatism. Folks who claim to have all the answers generally are too afraid to ask the questions. In fact, our reading from the book of Proverbs this morning doesn't say to have the answers. It says to have trust in the Lord and not in your own insight. Happily ever after endings are the stuff of fairy tales, not real life, or at least not my life. How about yours? The reality is that all we have is faith. All we have is trust in the Lord. No guarantees. So, going back to Tabitha in the book of Acts, let's see some of the not-so-obvious things in this rather jarring story. Although it echoes other healing and resurrection stories in the Bible, such as Lazarus, Tabitha's story omits something. A superstar. Peter is the one doing the heavy lifting, not Jesus, and not even Paul. And Peter, not being a superstar, forgot to mention to Tabitha that he was healing her in the name of Jesus Christ. Oops, he just said, "Tabitha, yo, get up." Sounds kind of like Penn and Teller to me, but it wasn't Penn and Teller. It was Peter. And somehow, everyone in that community, everyone in that room, everyone knew that Peter's mission was all about Jesus Christ. I wonder if the same thing can be said about us. What is also different is that this is the only time in the Bible where the good works of the person being cured are highlighted. You know, we don't know what Jairus' daughter did or what Lazarus did, but we know Tabitha worked her fingers to the bones sewing. The widows were wearing proof of that. And remember, widows didn't just represent a marital status. That represented, at that time, the most marginalized of society. So Tabitha's faith is evident in the works and the people around her. Well, you know, the story of Nancy Zeman, the first inductee into the Sewing Hall of Fame, is also about faith evidenced in the work and people around her. Contracting Bell's palsy as a young child, Nancy's face drooped. Her face never worked well. Half of it was lifeless. Nevertheless, she went on to star in a public television show, Sewing with Nancy, that went on for decades and had a huge following. So she found her gift, and now her purpose was to give it away and to inspire others to do the same. She partnered with charities around the world, devoting part of every show and every book she wrote to their service. So she encouraged people to sew and give to Quilts of Valor for veterans and Gold Star family, for Project Linus, for cancer headscarves, for simple dresses for children in sub-Saharan Africa, and for blankets and beanies for newborns and mothers in East Africa. Whatever it was, when Nancy shared her gifts, the world caught a glimpse of God. You know, I like to think that Nancy, who had a defective face, whenever she shared her good works, her gifts, the world saw the face of God, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful. But last September, Nancy shared something different. She had just received a devastating diagnosis, and she announced to her tens of thousands of followers, and I quote, "I have learned to concentrate on my faith. You may not share my beliefs, I respect that, yet I would not be true to myself if I did not share the verse that I am focusing on during this last leg of my journey." And she chose the Proverbs verse that we read this morning, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." And she ended, "So with a heavy yet humble heart, I thank you and say goodbye." Less than 2 months later, Nancy died. But her legacy didn't. Her mission of serving those in need continues, and the world is better for it. Come to think of it, we don't know what happened to Tabitha, but we do know that her mission of serving those in need continued, and the world is better for it. Yes, being a disciple matters. And if being a disciple matters, then mission matters. You know, another thing, we don't know if after Peter left, Tabitha lived 10 years or 10 minutes. We just don't know. But we do know she wasn't cured of death. So perhaps her story isn't about a cure, but rather about healing. A cure is straightforward. You're cured or you're not. Healing, on the other hand, happens many, many different ways, some more obvious than others. And healing isn't confined to one person. Healing belongs to the whole community. Face it, every time disciples serve the world amidst its despair and chaos and evil, the world's heartbreak is healed even just a little bit by catching a glimpse of God's grace and love. So perhaps the purpose of Tabitha's miracle story is to remind Christians that where there is mission, there is healing. And Tabitha's legacy also reminds followers that death does not have the final word. God does. You know, when John was dying, and this was at his very, very last morning, I told the nurse that he was a wonderful, giving man. And then I started listing all the ways he served, and she interrupted me. She said, "Oh, yes, even though I've only known him for 3 days, I know he's a great guy. I know this from him, and I know it from Sandy. Great people." So then when I mentioned how involved in the church John was, she looked at me like I was the dumbest Captain Obvious that ever existed. Sure, even though she only knew John for 3 days, she knew. She knew his heart was bigger than any heart monitor could convey. She knew he was a part of a faithful, loving community, for she'd experienced it in those who visited him, and especially in Sandy and in John himself. So she knew, like we all know, that even when his heart monitor stopped, John's heart-filled legacy did not. It continues. So perhaps the message of Tabitha's simple story isn't about simple answers, but profound questions. Is death the end of our story, or will our legacy live on? Well, you might be wondering what all these quilts are doing up here. I don't know who made them. They all ended up in my closet, so I don't know if churches made them because I'm from a long line of pastors and gave them to pastors, or if family members made them. I just don't know. I'm guessing they're all close to 100 years old. And I have another one up there. But what you can't see up here is that these lines, which are probably blurry or non-existent to you, are hand-embroidered names of people who helped make the quilts. And in reading what I can, let me see, there's Mary Samuels and Jenny Laird and E.M. Gibbons and Dr. Richard Evans. I read that this was made in 1927, and I know it's made in a Presbyterian church because I recognized two names, and I know it was made in New Jersey, in Trenton, New Jersey, at a Presbyterian church. But let me see. Anna Worth, you know her?
No,
I don't know her. Mary Ann Roush. Know her? I don't know her. We don't know them. None of us know them. In fact, I would guess, since that was made in Trenton, New Jersey, almost 100 years ago, none of them had ever even heard of Grays Lake, Illinois, and I suspect none of them ever even stepped foot in Illinois. We don't know anything about them, or do we? I know something about them. I know they belong to a church. I know that they loved and they hoped in Jesus Christ despite the heartbreak and setbacks they endured. In fact, I did recognize two names, one who lost her brother in World War I, and the other one who was soon to get pregnant with her second child and die. They loved, they hoped, and we know they served. We have a legacy of their mission right here. So, but we know nothing more about them. But perhaps that's enough. Perhaps that's enough for any of us, for any of our legacy. We don't know what the makers of these quilts looked like. We can't see their faces, yet through their service, we get a glimpse of the face of God. And it's beautiful. Just beautiful. Friends, we each have one life, but we have many opportunities to serve, whether it's weeding or feeding or teaching or building or counting or teching or praying or, like Tabitha, sewing. Whatever our gifts, Our purpose is to discover them and then give them away in God's service. We are called to make the world a better place, not so we can point to ourselves and say how great we are, but so that others can point to us and say how great God is. And then, even when we die, our compassion and our faith don't. Our legacy lives on. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.